Welcome to the Riot Podcast, where we have practical discussions on how to share your faith, see the news from God's eyes, and answer some of faith's hardest questions.
Thank you for joining us on the Riot Podcast, where we are in a weird mood today. What do you guys think?
It's a new year, Pete.
I'm telling you, it is, isn't it? Well, I'm Pete Robertson. I'm joined by Bob Schoeneman.
Hey, guys.
And Barry Rice.
What's happening? It's a new year. Come on, 2021. Let's do this.
I tell you what, man. It's just been, I guess it's kind of, there's a relief. I mean, we're all pumped up. It's 2021. We're ready to get this party started. I mean, I think there's a jovial kind of feel. What do you think?
Yeah, I think a lot of people were ready for 2020 to go away for some reason.
Absolutely. I know I was, and we're excited that y'all are joining us here today, and we're going to have a good time.
You know, today's show is sponsored by EXP Realty, and the actual person that represented there is Bob Schoeneman, our very own. And if anybody has a realtor kind of need, you can contact them. It doesn't matter where you're at in the United States. They're actually anywhere in the world because they're in India and Europe and different places, but he can help you. He can help find you either an agent in your local area or find you a home that within Florida. So you can reach him at Bob Schoeneman, S-C-H-O-N-E-M-A-N @gmail.com. And I tell you, you would not find a better agent than Bob.
Hey, Bob, I hear that you're a broker. Does that mean you take gambling bets?
No, wrong kind of broker. Wrong kind of broker.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Pete, when you were spelling my name there, it reminded me when I met my wife.
Yeah.
How I taught her how to spell my name.
Yeah.
S-C-H, one man.
Hey.
Clever, right?
All you need is the E. She, one man.
Yeah.
Because that's the way it should be. One man for
that's
she.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's the way it is. Well, anyway, we're also, if you want to reach us, you can find us at riotpodcast.co. And you can also find us on Facebook at The Riot Podcast. Barry?
Yeah, Pete, tell me what was your New Year's resolution. I cannot wait to hear about this. You told me that you were going to give this New Year's resolution, and I want to hear about it.
Well, here's the ongoing joke. Well, my wife wants me to lose enough weight that I can get back into my Speedo, because she wants to see me in my Speedos at the beach.
I don't want to see that. Your wife may want to see it, and I think you need to keep that in your bedroom, but not on the beach.
Oh, yeah. No, that's just a joke.
A scary thought, Pete, actually.
So what's your New Year's resolution, Bob?
Well, I got to admit, I've discovered over the holidays and maybe December that I have an addiction, and I think I'm going to drop that in 2021. There was a week at least in December where I know 5 days in a row, I think, I had Chick-fil-A. So for 2021, New Year's resolution is to give up Chick-fil-A.
Are you making your whole family do that, or just you?
Yeah, it's tough enough for me to try to do that. My family would kick me out of the house before they would give up Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, if you know me though, I don't go with the flow. So y'all are cutting things out. I am going to put something into my life.
What are you putting in?
Well, Here goes. Okay. My wife for many years has been, in 28, 29 years, been after me to brush my teeth every day. And so I am making a 2021 New Year's resolution to brush my teeth every day.
Yeah.
Hey, Pete, why don't you tell our listeners what we're all wearing today?
Well, I mean, I would just want to go back to the brushing teeth part real quick.
Was going to just let that go.
No, because I was just thinking, I've noticed all the things in his teeth at times,
yeah.
And then that breath that he has.
I know.
So I can testify that. Thank you, wife, for just getting him to want to just brush his teeth.
It will make our podcast recordings a lot more enjoyable, that's for sure.
Is that why there's stuff in my screen?
That's what it is.
Oh, no.
It's got to be.
That's what it is. Okay. I was wondering.
With all of that said,
like,
you guys.
Who's using my mic when I'm gone?
We're just playing around and just being funny. But we do want to talk about New Year's resolutions. And we do want to talk about the kind of the serious side of everything. And but before we get to that, we do have another guest. Many of you probably heard a different sound.
So excited for you guys to meet this guy.
This man is, his name is Jeffrey Harris of PowerPoint Ministries. You can find him at powerpointministries.com. And he has just been someone that I've come to know in the last few years and has just really blessed me. This man has wisdom beyond years. He has spoken into my life. He's given us insight into the things of God, and he's just brought to light so many different things to help me in my walk with the Lord. And without further ado, the legend himself, Mr. Jeffrey Harris, thank you for being here, Jeffrey.
No pressure there.
Welcome.
Thank you for being here. So why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself, your background? I mean, you have a story background, and we just can't wait to dive into a little bit of what you're doing now.
Okay. Hey, I have a resolution, too.
What is that?
To love my wife better.
See, he's doing the serious one, but that's where we're at, too.
No, she's going to be listening to this, and he needed some brownie points.
She threatened my life if I didn't get better.
Well, then you gotta better get better.
I believe that. I actually believe that.
Knowing Barbara, I can know that.
Hey, thank you for letting me join you. This is fun. I've been looking forward to getting together with you guys and enjoyed listening to your podcast. It's great to be a part of it today. I'll tell you a little bit about me.
Yeah.
I grew up in North Carolina and came on staff with Campus Crusade for Christ way back when I was 24 years old. I'm 75 now.
Wow.
So there's a few years between there, but most of my life has been spent in ministry. And it's been an exciting journey. I worked with Campus Crusade for most of those years in different positions. And then about 10 years ago, started my own ministry. And we have been doing personal discipleship, working with pastors, and now internationally, working with people across 11 time zones and in 27 countries. And it's been a journey for me as an old man to catch up with all the technology involved in social media and learning how to use that and video conferencing and that kind of thing. But you're never too old to learn.
No, you're not. So what do you do exactly? What is your step-by-step process?
I connect with pastors through Facebook, and I talk with them about what they're doing and following up and helping their church members grow. And if they do not have a follow-up process like personal discipleship, one-to-one coaching, I give them a clear process and train them how to use it.
So how could this help the local church here?
Same as it is overseas. I've found that a lot of the pastors that I work with here do not have any kind of a plan for one-to-one discipleship. It's most of the discipleship is through small groups and preaching, and of course those are great ways, but I found one-to-one discipleship produces the greatest accountability, and therefore the most progress and growth.
Yeah. What's your guys' thoughts on that, on the one-to-one discipleship?
Well, I have a ton of questions that I want to ask him. In your lifetime, Jeffrey, how many people have you one-on-one discipled?
Oh, my goodness. I really haven't counted.
Take a good guess.
I would guess
a lot.
700 to 1,000.
Wow.
My goodness. Now, what I understand you're doing and what God has allowed you to do is in the last 10 years, you have started this ministry, and your mission has been to disciple pastors to lead a discipleship movement of reproductions.
Correct.
A discipleship movement is what?
Yeah, a movement is a team of people who have learned a process that is transferable.
Mm-hmm.
And that they can multiply through their own personal sphere of influence, and even in other countries. I have, for example, disciples in Africa who are coaching other pastors in other African countries
because
they have a transferable method.
That is so exciting.
And so if people wanted to get this discipleship or learn how to do this form of discipleship, what would they do?
They could go to powerpointministries.com and fill in a short piece of information, and we will send them a PDF of our student guide that we use internationally.
And if they wanted to get a hold of you to contact you so you can contact them back, they would just do the same thing?
All the communication information is there for them.
Okay. And then you guys, I mean, again, we've talked about this in the past. What's your thoughts on how important is discipleship? I mean, how do you rate that in your walk with the Lord, Bob?
Well, I really believe that's where growth happens. I mean, I've been saved for 40 years, and until I had a one-on-one discipleship situation about 5 years ago, I just didn't grow. I was still an infant in Christ. So I think it's huge. We were talking this morning. So, Joffrey, if people are looking for someone to disciple, in our prep time this morning, you mentioned something about three characteristics that you look for in in possible people that you want to disciple. I think, could you share that with us?
Yes. We're looking for fat people.
That is what it is.
I can do it.
PHAT.
I'm available and I'm fat.
We're faithful, available, and teachable.
Look at Joffrey jumping in on the comedy.
That's really good.
That's awesome.
That is such a simple way to remember what we're looking for.
Faithful, available, and teachable. That's right. Really good.
You know, the importance of discipleship is if you really do want to grow in your faith, if you really do desire to take that next step, It's so important to find somebody that can actually help you learn the Bible, learn some of the things that are in it that are harder to understand, and to really walk through life with you. Because there's so many bad habits that many of us that have learned over the years, and we don't even realize that what we're doing is not what the very best and what God is asking of us. And so by being connected with a more mature follower of Christ, that allows you to be able to see, one, how you're to live it out loud, how you're to live your life properly, but two, for that person to be able to speak life into you and to be able to point out some of the things and some of the habits that you're doing that will not get you closer or will not allow you to have the fullness of God inside of you. Thoughts on that?
Well, it's important as a disciple maker to be good at asking questions.
Yeah.
Because it's not so much our presentation as it is listening and caring and responding to people where they are and doing it naturally.
Yeah. Yeah, we were just talking about earlier too, Barry, I think we brought this up as far as the church. You know, there's many churches that are focused in on really bringing in the masses, and because they want to build the church and they want to bring in as many people as they can to be able to evangelize to them and to, you know, speak to them. And that is absolutely needed in today's church. But at the same time, just as important is the church to focus in on raising up disciples and then multiplying them, as you were saying, faithful, available, and teachable, disciples.
That's right. Jesus gave us the model.
Yes.
He discipled 12 men, and Scripture says they turned the world upside down.
It's amazing.
And he had an inner circle even of Peter, James, and John. So our approach is to help pastors build a team of leaders that through whom they can reach the members of the church and beyond.
Yeah. You know, and if there's somebody out there that wants to be discipled and you don't have a church, man, by all means, contact us, because we would love to connect you with somebody that can help you. And if you do have a church and you're a part of a church and you want to bring a discipleship program to your church, Joffrey's a perfect person to connect with, because he can help give you the material and help walk you through the step-by-step plan that he does with the pastors that he works with. And then if you're looking for, you know, just if you have that passion and that hunger, just to know the Lord more, you know, you can just be, you know, go talk to your pastor, go talk to your lay leaders that are in your church, and work with them and ask them what they have and the next steps that you can take to be able to get on a path of just growing closer to the Lord. Any thoughts?
You know, Pete, I heard a missionary say one time, if you want to influence someone this week, give them fish. But if you want to influence their future and generations to come, teach them how to fish.
Yeah, amen.
And, you know, here's a guy right here, Joffrey Harris. He pours into preachers and preachers that are able to pour into other preachers and able to build up other churches. Come on, guys.
Was that a Billy Graham? Who was
no, that was John Madden. What up?
It messed up. That was awesome.
Can you imagine, though? A man that is teaching pastors how to disciple other pastors in other countries and leading a worldwide movement of discipleship and reproduction. Man, that gets me fired up,
it
folks.
Does. Yeah, that's exciting. And that kind of leads us into our pressure point for the day. And we are talking about New Year's resolutions. And you know, one of the biggest things that people talk about is, yeah, I do the New Year's resolution, but then over time, I just stop it, or I just, you know, I can't carry it on. And so this podcast, what we're going to do is we want to uncover how we can guarantee you, if God is giving you a resolution, how you can fulfill upon that resolution. How you can, if you have a plan, if you have a something that you want to do, if you follow what we're going to talk about today, that could be reality in your life, and it could be consistent, and you can find this lived out. And so, what we want to talk about is plan to win, prepare to win, and to expect to win. And so we want to talk about that. So in order for us to keep our resolution, we have to plan to win. When we make a resolution, we must first set goals that are achievable. But most importantly, we need to set goals that we know that God is leading us. And so let's just talk about that a little bit, gentlemen. It's what does that look like in God leading us, and how do we set a goal based off of that? Any thoughts?
Yeah, I can see Barry is chomping at the bit here, so let me get in here real quick. I wanted to share a couple of verses with you that I think kind of relate. They're both in Proverbs. Proverbs 16:9 says, "In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps." And then in Proverbs 19:21 it says, "Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." So, you know, we can try to make our own plans in our flesh, and that's probably why they usually fail. We've really got to seek God and seek His will to be successful. And one other thing before I give Barry the mic, I've found from personal experience, if you're trying to give something up, you've got to replace it with something. So you can't just, you know, take away a negative and expect it to go away. You've got to fill it with a positive. So that's my thought.
Yeah, and again with that, it's getting to that understanding that if we are making a plan based off of our feelings, based off our opinions, based off of our wants, that many times has the flesh involved in it. And if it's not filtered through what the Spirit is saying, then our resolution is going to be found wanting, because what's going to happen is over time, the flesh is going to take over and we're going to want something else in the flesh. And that first thing that we wanted to achieve, like on a diet or, you know, like losing weight or, you know, saving money or whatever that is, if it's not being led by God, it's just not going to, you're not going to be able to fulfill it. And so it's so important that we make a plan, but we make a plan according to what we sense God's saying. So with that said, how do we know what God is telling us? How do we know what plan to make?
You know, I like to talk about the gifts I get. You know, I got a, a bow and arrow one time. And the problem is that I didn't have a bale of hay at the time or a target to shoot at. So I would just shoot it anywhere. Okay. And one day I was seeing how far I could shoot it up in the air and see where it would land. And so I'm doing this day in and day out, and my family had some friends over, and there was a car there, and you know where this is going. So I shot the arrow up in the air, and it came down, and I couldn't find it. And so I'm looking everywhere. Oh, shoot, where did my arrow go? And all of a sudden, I saw it sticking out of the car, the arrow. And I'm like, oh, no, they're going to, my mom and dad are going to kill me. My family's going to kill me. And what happened? I am the luckiest guy in all the world. Do you know how the old cars used to have that black rubber strip between the back window and the front window? Uh-huh. It landed in that black rubber strip between the two windows. I pulled it out, and nobody from this day until they listened to this podcast.
An angel of God. Yes. That.
But it's so true. If you don't have a bullseye to shoot at, you're going to, if you don't have it, you're going to hit it every time.
Yeah.
You're going to hit failure every time if you don't plan to have a target and a bullseye that you're shooting at. So the lack of planning is a plan to fail.
Yeah.
And if you, you know, if you think about it, you know, if I'm trying to navigate myself through 2021, I've got to be focused and I've got to stay on pace and I've got to navigate 2021. Nobody in January of 2020 knew that this virus was coming.
Right.
And we had to adjust, but those who had a goal, those who had focus in 2020, those are the ones that did the best. So in 2021, you have got a plan or you plan to fail.
Yeah. And again, I think it just gets back to what to plan. I mean, a lot of people have believed in this. They believed in planning. You know, Rick Warren said that living to create an earthly legacy is short-sighted goal. And so it's not a matter of planning to live out a legacy on earth. It's a matter of planning to live out the legacy for God and to bring him glory. And what is it that you're doing? He also said the smile of God is the goal of your life. And so if your goal of your life is to make God smile, then your goals are going to be different. They're going to be different in your thought and your approach and so forth. And so in order to make God smile, we must know what God wants. And in order for us to make the plan work, we must be in line with what God's goal is for our life so we can do that. Any thoughts on that, Joffrey?
Yes, God made it simple. He asked us to love him and love others and go make disciples. The great commandment and the great commission. It's that simple, to get up every morning from the time you awake till you lay your head down on the pillow at night, you love everybody he brings across your path the best you can. And then you learn how to help them grow in their faith. And there's a very simple process that we'll be happy to share with you that you can use, beginning with your family and friends, that will help them grow with you to learn to know God better and join him in the great co-mission. It's not about our plan. It's about us joining him in his plan. Big difference.
Yeah, it is. And again, it's 2 Chronicles 15:7 says, but as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded. So again, it's you have to understand that you're going to face objection. If you don't have a plan, that you're gonna face times in your life, and we're gonna talk about this a little bit later. You're gonna face times in a life where you might face opposition. And if you're not strong and stay the course, because you know that God gave this to you, that God put this on your plan in your heart, then you will have a time of frustration. But if you stay the course, you will be rewarded according to what the Bible says. So any other thoughts on
in Proverbs 16:3, you were in Proverbs 16 a while ago, Bob, yeah. But it says this in verse 3, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. He also says in Proverbs 21:5, the plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. And then we know Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people are perish.
Yeah.
And then I really like this passage here, Habakkuk 2:3.
Yeah.
Write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets. If you got a plan, you need to write it down. If you got a purpose, you need to write it down, and you need to really put it where you can see it all the time.
Yeah, you know, Zig Ziglar is, I love him, man. I used to listen to him all the time, and he has a book out called Born to Win, I believe it is, Born to Win. And one of the statements in that is, if you want to reach a goal, you must see the reaching in your own mind before you actually arrive at your goal. And so again, it just goes back to, in order for us to plan to win in our life, we have to get our priorities straight. We're going to have to realize that our life is not about ourselves. It's about Christ. And we have to get to the point where if there's something that God is asking of us to do, to change, to repent of, or to change course in, we must be in His presence in order to hear exactly what our next steps are, and then put that in a plan, put that in motion so that He ultimately can be glorified. And so if it's that God saying that, hey, you're eating bad because your temple is off. The body is the temple and it's not healthy. And so the plan is, God is saying, I will give you strength. I will help you overcome this eating problem if you rely upon the Holy Spirit, if you cry out to me, if you do it unto me so that I am glorified, then that goal can be reached. But it cannot be reached if we do not see it from the eyes of God, if we do not hear exactly why God is saying that. If you're a smoker, if you're doing drugs, if you're watching porn, if you're doing things that are not healthy and that are not going to bring you closer to the Lord, the Lord God says, if you draw near to me, if you then cry out to me in the power of the Holy Spirit and rely upon me, lean not on your understanding, but really do that, then I will give you help. I will give you strength. I will get you through it. But it's just not a one and done. This is something that we have to constantly do. This is a constant surrender, but it is achievable and it is possible. We just have to make the major changes in our life so that the goal can, if we're not planning it out, if God is saying you can't, don't watch porn, and we still have our computer screen sitting in front of us, there might be a need an adjustment in place. We might need to move our computer screen because we have weakness, or there has to be something that has to change. We need to plan that out. You know, if we're saying we're not supposed to eat, then we should not bring in donuts every single week. It's just, it doesn't make sense. There has to be a plan in place so that it brings glory to God. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think there are people that are probably listening to us today that are saying, oh, that's for you spiritual people. You know, that's not for me. I could never do that. And the truth is, you never could without God's help.
And yeah.
That's your point, I think, Pete, is
yes.
we don't realize that we're living beside Hoover Dam and lighting our house with a candle.
Yeah.
We have actually the privilege of having God's power in the form of His Spirit living in us, working through us. In 2 Peter 1:3, it says, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness.
Yeah.
Now, that's not us just saying you ought to be spiritual. That's God saying, if you trust me, I'll give you everything you need to be what I want you to be.
Amen. Yeah, and again, it goes back to what Galatians 3:24 says, that as a follower of Christ, we have crucified our flesh with its passions and desires. And again, Paul's not saying that as a follower of Christ, you might crucify your flesh. He's saying that we have. And so it's just a matter of fact. Once we gave our life over to the Lord, we have chosen as the child of God to crucify the flesh. And so that means making the plan. That means putting ourselves in a position to succeed. But more importantly, relying upon the Holy Spirit to have a strength and the wisdom and the knowledge and all the insight that we need to be able to get through and to move forward. Any other thoughts?
Yeah, I kind of want to piggyback on what Joffrey was just saying. I think there's people out there that are they're hearing this and they're saying, well, that sounds simple. Love God, love people, and and then go make disciples who make disciples. But what does that look like? And I think you guys are already kind of talking about it and sharing some amazing verses that talk about it. But on a practical level, Pete, how does our listener who's a bank manager or a school teacher, what does their day look like? How do they put this into play and actually make this practical?
Yeah, and again, that just leads us right into our second point, right? So to prepare to win. So the first thing is we got to have a plan. So we need to be able to be in God's presence, and we need to be able to hear exactly what God is saying. If it brings him glory, if God is the famous one in your life, then I promise you that is his plan. So you can take that to the bank.
Who's the famous one?
If God is. If Jesus is the famous one, in whatever he's revealing to you, if it's going to bring him glory, if whatever you're changing is going to draw you closer to the Lord, it's going to remove negative obstacles that are taking you or hindering you from having the right relationship with him or right relationship with other people. Whatever that is of God. So you can take that, okay? But in order to achieve that, we must prepare to win. In order to do that, we must set goals and must have a plan to be able to be in God's presence every day. And so what does that look like? How do we prepare? What are the steps that we need to do to make sure that we are aligning ourselves daily with God? Thoughts? Barry?
Hey, this is so true what you're saying there, Pete. You know, if we just make a plan and we have a purpose, we have a goal, if we don't prepare ourselves to do that, if we don't sacrifice and surrender and put the work in, we just got a dream, we just got a hopeful wish. But man, I'm really glad that you're talking about being prepared, because whenever I hear the word prepare, I think of one president. And that president is not George Washington, Bob. It's Abraham Lincoln. If you know Bob, his favorite president, he constantly talks about George Washington. But Abraham Lincoln said this: I will prepare myself, and someday my chance will come. If you look at the first half of Abraham Lincoln's life, it was absolute failure.
Yeah.
And he was focused, and he didn't give up. And let me share just a few more quotes by him. Talking about seizing your opportunity, he says, first of all, you got to develop a positive mindset. And what does that mean? Most folks are as happy as they make up their minds to be, Abraham Lincoln says. Wow. And he also says, and in the end, it's not the years in your life that count, it's the life in your years.
Wow. That's good.
So it's being having a positive mindset and believing that it's going to happen. Number two, he says that I will prepare myself so that when my chance comes, I'll be ready. And then he says, number three, it's okay to be slow. Just keep moving forward.
Yeah.
And Abraham Lincoln said, I'm a slow walker, but I never walk backwards.
Hmm.
Wow. That just hit me between the eyes as I looked at that. And then number four, he says, don't wait for your dreams to happen. Make it happen.
Hmm.
The best way to predict your future is to create it, Abraham Lincoln said. And the last quote I'm going to give you from him today, number five, is this.
As you shuffle through your paper.
We can complain because rose bushes have thorns, or rejoice because thorns bushes have roses.
Amen.
Whatever you are, be the best. Abraham Lincoln.
Those are some amazing quotes from the second best president in our history.
But with all of that said, again, it goes back to, so we do need to prepare. We do need to put ourselves in a position. So what are some practical things that people can do? And most of our hearers know this, but what are some practical things that we could do to prepare ourselves so that the plan, the resolution that God gives us is successful?
I have a friend of mine who was really into planning. He always had to know what was out in front and what was going to happen and where was he going to go. And one day he was in a store with his wife, and they, as they were walking out, he was saying, now, where are we going to go now, and what time do we need to be there? And he started asking her a bunch of questions about what was coming up for the rest of the day. And she said to him, honey, we're just going to the car. Sometimes we need to realize that what we need to know is, what is the next step?
Hmm.
You know, what is the next thing I need to do? We have all been bombarded with information and plans that are big and vast and grand, and it's great that people can plan and do plan. But most people are just asking, what's the next step? What do I do next? And so I think in a sense, we need to be thinking in terms of what is important. And God says what's important is love me. You know, figure out what you need to do, what you can do to begin to love God, to get to know him. The Apostle Paul said, my determined purpose is that I may know him. Maybe it's just to read a psalm or Proverbs or something in the scripture that will help you get to know who he is. Maybe that's the starting place for a lot of people in their spiritual journey, is to just take the next step.
You know, Ephesians 6, talking about the whole armor of God, it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and the shoes for your feet, having put on readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all flaming darts of the evil one, and take up the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, to end keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And so when I read that again, it gets back to how do we prepare? Well, Joffrey, you touched on it, and again it goes back into the word of God. The word of God is our source. It's our blueprint. It's our absolute. And if we're not in the word of God, we do not have absolute truth. And without absolute truth, without having that to strengthen us and to get us to the next step, we are going to fail. If we don't know it, if we're not putting it in, if we're not putting on the full armor of God, if we're not doing the things necessary, we're not going to keep the resolution that God is asking of us. Mm-hmm. But it's something that right now, whoever's listening, if you're hearing this and you're not daily reading the word of God, pray right now as you're listening to this and say, God, help me, strengthen me to be able to do this. Lord, I know this is your will. I know mm-hmm. you want me in the world, and I can't do it. I have bad habits, God. I need your help. But pray right now. Take this seriously, because it's the most important thing that you can do in your life to give you established foundation.
So what I heard you say, Pete, is don't run out in battle with your Speedos on.
No, don't do that. That's not good.
So what you said is put on that armor. And I really believe, guys, that's how you multiply as a disciple, is you spend time with God and he downloads to you some spiritual truth. But if you don't share that with somebody, it becomes dead inside of you. But when you give it away to someone else, it's that simple. Is I get a nugget of truth from God or from my pastor or from some teaching or from the word of God, and I share that truth and ask them, how does this speak to you? What do you think about this? Or what stands out to you? It is such a beautiful process. The other thing that I was thinking about how to prepare myself to win is building a team. Do you have a team around you that is praying for your success, that's holding you accountable to what you say that you want to do? That is so important. I have a board of directors, not just at my church, but in my life, that hold me accountable. And it hurts sometimes when they come to you and say, hey, I'm concerned about this, but I'm going to tell you what, every time any one of them did that, I was so appreciative. Get people in your life that will speak truth to you in love. The best person that does that in my life as well is my wife. How about you guys?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, another thing with preparing to win is 2 Corinthians 10:5. It says that we need to take the captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And if you're living a life and you're a negative person, and everything is negative, everything is horrible, everything is like it's the end of the world, and oh my gosh, this just happened, and oh my gosh, this whatever, that's not going to help you achieve your goal. That's not going to get you to the next level. And so we have to learn that when those negativities come, that we replace it with the Word of God. We replace it with truth. We meditate on what is true. And so there's a lot of things we meditate on that is never going to come to fruition. So we need to really recognize that, no, right now I have my life. Right now I'm alive. Right now I have this opportunity to thrive in my moment for God's glory. And so that's another way that we need to prepare to win, is to do that. Any other thoughts on how we can prepare to win?
Well, I want to, when Joffrey was talking, man, I was convicted of something and I'm going to share it with you guys. You were telling your story about the car, and I was thinking, you know, I tell my wife, she's like, well, what time we need to leave? And I'll give her a time. And she's always a couple minutes late. She always, almost always misses it. And now I'm in big trouble because she's going to listen to this. But it upsets me. So in that moment, I'm not loving God or loving my wife. I'm just loving me, right? I'm upset. And, you know, because we didn't leave in the time that, you know, I said we should leave. So that really convicted me. I need to work on that. So maybe that should be my real New Year's resolution. And then, Pete, when you were reading Ephesians 6, I kind of backed up to Ephesians 5, and I wanted to share that with you guys real quick. Verse 15, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. There's the key. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So that just really struck me, and I wanted to just ask you guys, what does being filled with the Spirit mean?
My best understanding is, I heard it expressed this way, it's being controlled and empowered by the Spirit. And that's an act of surrender of our will and our purpose to His will and His purpose. And that's what the Great Commission is about, is joining Him in His mission. What is His mission? It's to love. He sent His Son to love the world. And so it's really that practical, you know, when we get up in the morning and we just anticipate, you know, God's going to bring people across our path and we need to love them the best way we know how.
Yeah, Romans 5 and 6, it says, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. So again, it's allowing the Spirit to control you. Yeah.
I had a misconception on that for so long. I felt like it was like a pitcher being filled up with water or something, like it was an empty tank that needed to be filled up. And it's not. I was studying this last night, and it just hit me like a ton of bricks that it's about surrender and allowing the Holy Spirit to control. Oh, awesome. Thank you guys.
Yeah, it's a y'all go ahead. It's open the door and let the Spirit go first. And you guys know my daughter Cassie,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
When she drove her mother's car for the very first time, it was about out of gas. And you may know this. Bob's laughing because he knows it. But she filled the car up, but she filled it up with diesel. And so it was smoking, it was puttering, it was running horrible. So what fuel are you burning?
Yeah. Wow.
If you're burning the right fuel, you can do it. And that is that word control that you read,
sure,
Pete, is what fuel are you burning? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to be your fuel, to be your power? Are you depending on your own understanding or your own power? It's night and day. I've done ministry a lot of years in my own strength. But when we do it with God's power, it's easy. It's unbelievable what God can do.
Amen. So John 14:26 says, but when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and remind you of everything I have told you. So that power, that fuel is the Word of God. That Amen. Power, that Word is what the Word that Jesus has taught us or what the Word says. And so if we're not speaking that into our lives, then we do not have that power. And that power is what the Spirit of God is putting in you. Right. So if what you're hearing and what you're saying is bringing flesh to yourself, or it's envy, or it's anger, or it's bitterness, or things like that, that's not of God. But if what you're hearing inside of you and whatever the Spirit is saying, and it's going to elevate others above yourself, if it's going to speak life into people, if it's going to love others, if it's going to sacrifice your wants and your needs, then that is of the Holy Spirit. That is the fuel that we're wanting. Jeffrey.
Yeah, it's about believing the truth of his word. He's commanded us to be filled with his Spirit in Ephesians 5:18. It says, don't be drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That's a command, not a suggestion, for every believer.
Yeah.
And then he's given us a great promise in 1 John 5:14 and 15. If this is the confidence we have, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us.
Yeah.
And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know, not we hope or we wish or we think, Good. We know we have the petition we've desired, that Amen. We've desired of him. So he's promised us, ask me to fill you with your spirit, with my spirit, and I'll do it.
Yeah.
And it's not about you having this tingly feeling down your spine. We're commanded to live by faith, faith is not a feeling. Hmm. Faith is believing in the integrity of God and his word, and inviting him to control and empower us, and then believing that he'll do what he says he will.
Absolutely.
Right? If we don't believe it, that he'll honor his word, then we miss the point.
If you don't hear it, that's the mic being dropped right there. Amen. That is really good. Joffrey is not like me, Bob, and Pete. We got 20 pages of notes here. He just shared that from the essence of his heart. He doesn't have the verses written down. It just came right out of him. And that's what a true disciple does. And
absolutely.
Man, that's awesome, Joffrey. Thank you for sharing that, man.
Absolutely. So again, it goes back to, we've in order to have the resolution to be successful, we first have to plan to win, and that is we have to hear what God is wanting of us to do. We have to put ourselves in alignment to what God is saying, and so that he is glorified. Again, life is not about us. It's about him. And so if we are a follower of Christ, we have to say that out loud. Life is not about me. Life is about him. It's always about him. Mm. So in order for us to plan to win, we have to get that right. Okay, now we understand that. Now God has directed us. God has put something on our heart. We know there's certain things in our life that's not working well. We know that there's certain things that we have to change. So the next thing is we have to prepare ourselves. In order to prepare ourselves, we talked about that. We need the Word of God. We need to be in fellowship. We need to have surround ourselves with like-minded or people that can help disciple us and to get us in that right space, that right page. And we most importantly need to lean on the Holy Spirit. We have to draw upon the power of God to be able to do it. So when circumstances happens, when life things happen, we have to look at it from God's eyes. We have to say, Jesus, I need your help. I need help to be able to get through this right now. My life is hard. I want to sustain. I want to fulfill this resolution. I want to make this happen, but I need you to strengthen me. I need you to get me through. And so in order to prepare to win, we're reading, we're in our Bibles, we're having surrounded ourselves with people, but we're learning how to draw upon the Holy Spirit to do that. And then Joffrey, you said it, our next point. If we want to, we have to expect to win. Because if God has given you this, if God be for you, nothing can be against you, right? If God is sharing these truths with you, then he will fulfill it in your life. If God began a good work in you, he will be faithful to complete it in you. And so that we have to expect to win. So thoughts on that, guys? So we have our plan to win, our prepare to win, and now we have our expect to win. So thoughts?
Jeremiah 29:11 jumps out at me there. It just, for I know the plans I made for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future.
Yeah, amen.
Really good.
So you're saying God wants us to win, Bob?
I believe so.
Well, you know, this whole discussion, if you get anything out of it, get this. that if you rely on your own strength and you burn your own fuel, who gets the credit?
Yeah.
You do.
That's right.
You did it.
Yeah.
But if you have what my pastor used to call a big, hairy, audacious goals that you can't accomplish on your own, that God has to show up and do something big for them to be accomplished, and you got them from him in the first start as you planned and as you prepared, God gave you a word on what he would like to accomplish through your life in 2021. And you rely on his power. His name is out there. His name is on the line. We talk about in ministry, whose name is on the line, that person, their butt's on the line, right? It's like God's butt's on the line because his name is in it, and it's for him, and he is going to show up in a big way, because 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear." Another translation says timidity, but a power and love and self-control. God tells us that the power that raised Jesus Christ from the grave is available to us. I don't see us using that a whole lot.
Right. And again, it's in order for us to expect to win, we need to thrive in our moment. And so if circumstances are happening, in order for us to win, we have to, again, we talked about that, meditate on truth, meditate on the Word of God, draw upon the Holy Spirit, but thrive in what we know. You know, and sometimes we have these goals and we have these things, and we have to know that God is leading us there ultimately. And he will sustain it. He will get us through whatever that is to bring him glory. But we have to stay in our moment. We have to continue to live simply, because sometimes we get so overwhelmed. And if there's a goal that God's given you and it's something that you just like, I can't do this, and you start looking at this grand picture and you automatically are failing before you even started. And so we have to just live simply. So we know today, if I am in the Word of God, if I am doing the things, I have the plan, I'm putting myself in a position to succeed, I can draw upon the Spirit of God in this moment, in this circumstance, or whatever that is, then we can win. Because it says in Ephesians 3:20, he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the work that's in us, the power of the work that's in us. Mm-hmm. And so we can win, but we can't just stay out of the clouds. Let's live in our moment. Let's live simply in this day, knowing that we have a plan, and let's just stick to it, and let's just thrive today with God's strength, with God's power, to be able to move forward in our next day. And then I guess the other thing is, I got to say this, don't beat yourself up, because there's going to be days you're going to fall short. There's going to be days that you need abundance of grace. There's going to be days that you need to give abundance of grace.
Right. And so
those are the days that we have to just rely upon the Spirit and the forgiveness of God and the repentance that we can do. But more importantly, the goal is not end. It's not done. We could still continue to do it. God expects us to fall short. The Bible says that. He knows that. It sucks, but it happens. But we could still win. We just got to get back up. We just got to get back on our plan. We got to get back into the go. We just got to move forward that day. Any other thoughts with that?
No, the way to express that is stay connected with God. The only thing that disconnects us is our disobedience.
Yeah.
It's when we do what we want, not what he wants. And of course, to know what he wants, you got to study the word, as we were sharing before. But it's so key to know that we can stay connected when God shows us, and that's part of his Spirit's responsibility to guide us to truth, right?
Yeah.
As he lives in us and shows us what we need to do and guides us to that, and when we obey him, we will experience his power. When we veer off the path and get into the bushes and the weeds and do our own thing, we virtually unplug from his power source. This, he says, his sin disconnects us from his power. And so we need to be quick when we realize that we've made a mistake, and of course all of us do. We need to be quick to agree with him that it's wrong, thank him that he's forgiven us.
Amen.
And then repent by turning from that and doing what he's telling us to do. And if we do that moment by moment, then we can walk in his Spirit and be successful in experiencing more of his power working in us and through us. And we don't have those long periods of time where our fellowship with him is broken and we're wondering why he isn't working in our life.
Barry, with that said, it's there's a lot of people out there that are not, that do not know the Lord, or there's a lot of people out there that want to do this resolution, or they want to make things different in their life. And or maybe they don't even know God. Maybe they don't know him personally. Why don't you just speak to those people and just, you know, share God's truth in that way?
Well, should I speak to the good news or the bad news first?
Yeah.
Let me start with the bad news. The bad news is that you can't change yourself. You cannot measure up to God's standard. And the Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We don't measure up. We can't change ourselves. And God stepped off his throne in heaven and came down and dwelled among men so that he could give his life so that we can be forgiven. We can be changed and we can be acceptable before a holy God. Christ makes us holy. And the good news is this. In Romans 8:31, it says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? God is for you. Mm-hmm. And matter of fact, in Romans 8:37, he says, you're more than a conqueror mm-hmm. through him that gives you strength.
Amen.
And, you know, I'm just want you to know that 1 John 4:4 says, little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the
yes,
world.
Amen.
But let me ask you, please hear me out and hear my heart. Is he in you? Because we're not born with him in us. We're born separated from a holy God. And we don't measure up. And it says that the wages of sin is death. And that word death means eternal separation from God. But his free gift is eternal life, an eternal relationship with God. He's for you. He wants you to win for his glory.
Yes.
And he wants you to have his heart. So let me ask you, is he in you? Have you ever received the Lord as your personal Savior? The one that you are submitting to the authority of, that he is your boss, your master, your go-to person. And just like we've talked about today, the whole treasure is loving him
yeah.
and he loving you. It's a relationship that's worth dying for because Jesus died so that you could have it.
Amen.
So if you're here today and you don't know for sure and for certain, 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written unto you so that you may know that you have eternal life. God wants everyone in his family to know that he's, that we are his children and that he's for us. Let me tell you how you can know. First of all, you got to admit that you're a sinner. And secondly, you got to believe that Jesus died for you, was buried and rose again on the from the grave, and that when he said, I am the way, the truth, and life, and no man comes to the Father except through me, that he is the only way to have a right relationship with God, the only way to become a part of the family, the only way to get forgiveness of our sin. And lastly, in Romans 10:9, that if you confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart, God's raised him from the dead, you shall be saved.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So confessing him is inviting him through prayer to come sit on the throne of your life and reign in you and over you and through you. Would you pray this prayer today, my friend, from the bottom of your heart to the heart of God, not to man, not to me, not to a pastor, but to God himself. Say, dear God, I realize I've been living my way, and my way is sin. And it offends you, and I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I believe that you love me enough to send your best, your son Jesus, to die on the cross for me. I believe that he not only died, but he was buried and he rose again, defeating death, the grave, Satan, and sin. He is victorious, and because he's victorious, I can be also. I believe, and I want to confess, that I can't do it on my own. I need you, Jesus, to come reign in me, and not only reign in me, but to live your life through me. Come into my life right now and save me and be my master. I surrender the throne of my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And so we would love to hear from you if you made that prayer today. You can go onto our website again at riotpodcast.co. There's a No God section on there. Click on that. Go ahead and at the bottom it says, did you receive Christ? Click yes. Fill that out. And we would love to send you a Bible and some information to help you with your walk. And there's many of you out there that might be looking for a church or trying to find a healthy body of Christ. And we would love to help you out in that. So you can go on to our More Resources page on our website, and you can find a local church that's there. Or if you just want to contact us, go ahead and fill out that sheet, and we will be in contact with you, and we'll find a pastor in your area that you can connect with. We thank you today, and Bob, why don't you just go ahead and give us kind of a recap of today, and Joffrey, we are so thankful that you were here. Any other last thoughts that you want to share with our audience today?
Well, I think, you know, we've covered it pretty simply here. Plan to win, prepare to win, and expect to win.
Yeah.
Amen. And that's what God wants us to enjoy.
Yeah.
In our life are those three things, and we've shared more than probably people want to hear about how to do that. But I tell you, we can be winners.
Yeah, amen.
You know,
amen.
We can be winners by God's grace,
amen,
and His power. And I thank Him for allowing me to be with you guys today and to enjoy this time together as brothers.
Blessed by you.
Well, Joffrey, it's been just an honor having you sit in with us today. The first show of 2021. One more time, woo, Happy New Year,
woo,
guys.
Hey, yeah.
You know, we started the show off talking about New Year's resolutions, and, you know, we were kind of having some fun with that. But, you know, if your New Year's resolution is maybe a little more serious and you feel like you really want someone to come alongside of you and pray for you while you're going through that, man, please reach out to us. Pete shared some areas on the webpage where you could do that. You could also do it on our Facebook page. It's just Facebook, The Riot Podcast, and you could find us there. You can comment there, and yeah, man, we'd love to pray for you as well. So, yeah, so check us out. Download the podcast. Make sure you subscribe. Hit like. Share it with your friends. If you like what you hear, share it with everybody. If you don't, then share it with us. So
yeah.
let us know. So we just want to constantly get better, and we just really appreciate you guys. I just wanted to wrap up with just a couple things real quick. And this stuck out to me. It said, I think Joffrey said it, or maybe Pete said it, but he said, life is not about me, it's about Him.
Hmm.
And, you know, we can't do it alone. Joffrey said, you know, you may not be able to do it. He said, you can't do it. You can't do it without God.
Hmm.
So I'm challenge you today to, if you're not involved in, a local church, find a good Bible believing, Bible fearing preaching church and just get involved there, get involved and read your Bible. You got to get into the Word. And then finally, I know Joffrey talked about Jesus' inner circle. Well, yeah. We need an inner circle as well.
Yeah. Amen.
In a lot of places, people do that with small groups, life groups, whatever you want to call them. But get people around you that can kind of see your blind spots,
yeah,
that cover your holes. And, you know, when
cover your six.
Cover your six. Yeah, right? I got your six. So you've got to have men around you that will tell you when you're about to go off the cliff. Women, same thing. You've got to surround yourself with people that will tell you the truth in love. So I challenge you to do that. Make 2021 the year that you finally do that. And just God bless you guys. Have an amazing week of worship. What else? Anything else, Pete?
No, I think that's it. Love you guys. Can't wait to hear it. Talk to you next week.
Great to be with you guys.
God bless you. Have an awesome 2021.
This has been The Riot Podcast. If you liked what you heard today, please feel free to leave a comment and share it with your friends. See you back here next week for another episode of The Riot Podcast.